Hello.
Hello, who's there?
Ira.
Hi, Ira.
Hi, Till.
So we will talk about our agenda items and also about the printing summit.
Right.
Yes, this is also the first call for the printing summit.
Oh, right. Do you want to schedule calls, a set of calls for the printing summit?
Yes, yes. I've put it onto the summit page.
Okay, we need to figure out those times so that we don't collide with each other. But, yeah, sure. Or, you know, if I miss it, someone else is going to take minutes.
Yes, and I've put them also, as I did the last 2 years, on the Wednesdays, because then they are accessible for you.
Yeah. Yeah, this I have only one other new standing teleconference on Wednesdays, but it's a couple hours later, so it doesn't collide.
And the order when we will talk about printing summit stuff and when we will talk about other stuff, we may simply depend on who is on the conference currently.
Yeah, right. I assume so. So let's give it a few minutes for people.
Yes.
I came online. I don't know if you...
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn. And thank you for answering the inquiry from the student, because I was very busy. And between today in the morning when I've seen it and now, I did not find the time for it.
Oh, I only saw the inquiry. I hadn't even seen the reply yet. I'm catching up in too many emails.
He sent one note not long after that. He sent another mail note. Does anybody hear me? He's kind of in a hurry, so he's excited, I think. So, but I don't think it's time for students yet. So, we don't even have the organizations finalized, do we, yet, Till?
We'll go through the Linux Foundation.
Yeah, we'll get to the GSOC topic today.
I've already prepared the website, and tomorrow I will fill this application form, as I have filled it all the years, and they are always accepted, the Linux Foundation. And
yeah, the point is the organization hasn't even been accepted yet, technically, for this year. So.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So we can't get students yet.
Yeah. And the best chance to get... to get participation in the Open Printing Summit is to apply on behalf of the Linux Foundation. As the Linux Foundation, they always accept, probably because it's an umbrella organization of several projects. And for example, Canonical was not or Ubuntu was not accepted last year.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Till, do you know why that was?
I don't know why they didn't accept Ubuntu, whether it was a bad organization or so. I didn't see how they organized the Google Summer of Code, or whether Google considers them as a normal free software project, so to say. And they already said once that the normal free software project, the usual free software projects, are usually not accepted every year to get the chance for different projects.
Yeah, they may have already had enough Linux support, too. You never know. You know, we don't make those decisions.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, right. There may be completely subtle reasons. Probably are. Yeah, right.
We don't want to know about.
Well, no. Honestly, we don't want to know about their politics. We've quite enough various politics to deal with ourselves.
And we don't even have hardly any, so that's good.
Right. No, I mean open printing doesn't, but PWG and other standard bodies, you know, that we have to interact with, you know, do.
Yeah, we have enough on our plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, it's Tim Moore here.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Thanks for joining.
Hi. Well, I saw you were going to be discussing the PDF to PDF thing, so...
Yes, I put it on the agenda in hopes that we could talk about it, and it makes it much easier since you joined us, Tim.
Yes. One thing is, but I didn't get answered it yet, is that I have asked Otani-san to at least to update these files he has copied to the newest version so that all already known vulnerabilities get removed, at least for the meantime until the Poplar project improves on their APIs and on their internal features so that we do then copying code is not needed anymore.
Certainly copying code is obviously undesirable. but it's also a fragility in a PDF filter that's no longer part of CUPS and that we have to maintain in the open printing community. It's a particular fragility. It would actually generating PDF should be the business of a library, not our library.
And one thing I also do, for example, for the Ubuntu distribution, when I package GhostScript, the original GhostScript tarball comes with all libraries, with copies of all libraries, graphics libraries like JPEG and color management libraries and so, probably to simply make it easy to compile it on very many different platforms, even if you don't have the libraries installed there. But for the distributions, we take care that none of these copies is used, but always the standalone libraries are already installed in the system to make sure that every piece of code appears only once in the distro, so that if it has a security vulnerability, one knows where this piece of code resides, and one fixes it, and then it's fixed for all applications.
And also because it is then, if a security-patched version of a standard application is in the distribution, it's the one that gets used and not our backup copy.
Yes, and so I'd also to work with... people with the upstream maintainers of GhostScript so that everything gets fixed in a way that one can use the external libraries, and that with the build system one can choose the external libraries instead of the internal ones and so on.
We will get started here in a minute. I'm still typing on capturing agenda items from the agenda.
I'm getting also here some questions on IRC.
Okay, good. You answer questions on IRC. Meanwhile, I'll catch up my own agenda into my copy of the minutes. I was a little slow this morning. One of the particularly frustrating things of working with people in various standards organizations on every continent and major island in the world is that at all hours of the day and night, they ask you questions. There's always fresh email to answer.
And they are all in different time zones, so you get 24 hours per day, you get email.
Yeah, from Moscow and Japan and Korea and Finland and Ireland every day I have email.
And Ubuntu, it's a little bit more concentrated to Europe and the United States. It seems that there are not really people working on free software in the Far East, neither as a volunteer nor as an employee of Canonical. So from this from these time zones, one sees very few not very much communication.
But if you don't sleep like Till, you can answer the mail 24/7.
24/7,
I'd also not the early morning. So I actually answer mail from my boss in California, for whom it's only midnight. She's insane. And her boss, my director. Or from my immediate colleagues at Samsung headquarters in Korea, either about Samsung or about Trusted Computing Group work and so on. So it doesn't matter. If I'm awake, I at any point look at my mail and then ignore the stuff that can wait and try to reply to the stuff that matters. So when we get to, it'll actually be PWG and TCG highlights and news. When we get to that, I'll talk maybe a little bit about what happened at the Trusted Computing Group conference, if we have time. Otherwise, I'll put some in the minutes. But broadly, I got involved in a lot more working groups. I was unsuccessful in dodging the invitations. Okay, shall we start? I presume till the status of the Common Printing Dialogue is that yes, next month Lars will start working on it after.
Yes, yes.
And he hasn't done any
work. Yes, Lars even wanted to call in.
I'm here, yeah.
Ah, Lars.
Hi, Lars. I typed your name this moment into the IRC to remember you. At this moment, you arrived.
All right.
Like I said a couple of times now, whether we do the dialogue next cycle, next Ubuntu cycle, is not clear yet. We'll decide that on UDS.
Okay.
Is the stick still too high that other things are not working in Ubuntu?
Lars,
I don't know. Yeah.
Does that mean that I should change from previous wishy-washy minutes to say CPD may be included in Ubuntu release 12.10 October 2012?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So the definite release of the CPD is most probably the next LTS in 2 years.
So more than that, Lars, it is not a committed thing in Ubuntu Canonical that CPD will start development in April?
Exactly. It might happen, I just don't want to say it does.
All right.
It will.
I'm changing the verbs from will to may.
Probably.
May start may be included, therefore, in the subsequent release.
Yeah.
Probably in April, the UPS man will come to you with all printer models which are listed as paperweight on Open Printing, and you are supposed to write the missing drivers.
So, Lars, from previous minutes, actually 2 months ago, I had typed a note. Lars will do a PPA release on 12.04, that is, in April. That works with the current Ubuntu, that's in parens, is of the Common P print dialogue code. Is that right or not? Is that maybe you will do a PPA release?
Actually, the status has been for a long time now that we'll not do any work on this until 12.04, and then we'll decide on UDS whether we'll start working on that or not. So there definitely won't be anything in April, but maybe 2 months after or 1 month after.
Yes, UDS ends in the evening of the 11th of May in San Francisco time zone, and so before there will be no development on.
So Lars, suppose I change under the, put that line under Maystart, Lars Maystart, Common Print Dialogue on 26 April, final Ubuntu 12.04 LTS release. Actually, that's not right. It's Maystart in May, right?
Well, after, yeah.
After the
Ubuntu. 12.04 is released in April 26th or something like that. So,
right,
yeah.
That's what, back in December, I had originally typed this because Till had told, and you had told me the dates, but it's, you may start the PPD in May, right?
Yeah.
And I'm believing the parenthetic final Ubuntu 12.04 LTS release is 26 April.
Yeah, and UDS is beginning of May.
Yes. And the time window...
Yeah, we're going to get to that in news or in a UDS topic here today, I hope. Okay, hang on. I'm reorganizing.
Yes, it's simply two weeks later. And in these 2 weeks, it's more preparation of the UDS, writing blueprints and such things, and also fixing the first bugs which are discovered in the freshly released pre-size.
Okay. Thank you, Lars. So all right. So what I have for Common Print Dialogue is that you're still the developer and work at Canonical. Lars may start Common Print Dialogue in May. Final Ubuntu 12.04 LTS release is 26 April. Lars may do a PPA release in June to work with current Ubuntu. And that was indented below the one above. And then Common Print Dialogue may be included in Ubuntu release 12.10 October 2012. Feature freeze for Ubuntu 12.10 is end of August. Is that still true?
As far as I know, yes.
I assume this is pretty much cut and dried, right? The standard. They're not changing those days. Okay, and most remaining work is CUPS integration and UI code, which is what you had said in December. Is that correct?
Still true, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I assumed it was still true, but I was double-checking. All right, good. Glenn, talk to us about Common Mobile Print Client, if you wish to.
Yes, I'm still working on it. I'm getting the slides ready for the face-to-face. No real code yet, so still kind of in a architecture. It has some sample stuff, but nothing concrete.
Okay, so architecture work is still in progress. Glenn is preparing slides for April PWG Open Printing Summit meeting. Anything else, Glenn?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that's all for right now.
Okay, that's good. Short is good. Okay, previously under the architecture, I had some notes about the architecture. Would you like to briefly confirm those so I leave them in or delete them?
Sure, go ahead.
It says, looking at PWG print job ticket spec and XML schema, many details revealed during PWG last call on print job ticket.
Still true.
Which is true. Print job ticket has completed last call, and so I think I should update that bullet that says it will shortly go to formal vote.
Okay.
Or add a bullet, actually, because Glenn observed many issues during PWG last call is the way that bullet should be written, and I'm fixing it. However, actually, print job ticket is not going to formal vote. It's going to it in the in. It's going to it in May because it's after the face to face. Isn't that right, Glenn?
It's also going after raster and.
That's my point.
JPS3 or
raster and JPS3, and I'm going to put those dependencies. I'm going to put. We'll start PWG formal vote with IPP JPS3 in May, because this is what Mike and I have scheduled, in May 2012.
But you could add a comment that we're not expecting any changes.
Right. No technical changes are expected. All last call issues resolved. Sorry, my fingers are extra stupid this morning. Have been resolved. Okay. I'm not even mentioning raster because, we're actually going to accelerate raster, but the point is we're waiting on JPS3 because it's quite a few of our, including some of our required attributes, are in JPS3. Okay. Next is a bullet that says, looking at mobile client capabilities, including local display.
Yes.
That's true?
Part of the work going on still.
Yeah, okay. I kind of wanted to bring it up to date so people didn't have to look at the previous minutes to see what the scope was. Looking at levels of detail to be supported / displayed by client.
Still, that's what's going on.
Yep. Completed print documentation processing header files with levels.
Yes, that's done.
And doing C implementation with C++ bindings in the isolated modules. That last was parenthetical.
Right.
Okay.
Like proof of concept code at this point.
All right. So that's where it's still the same architecture plan. Okay. Thank you, Glenn.
I'm multiplexing again. We're over too many projects, so everything goes a little slow.
Welcome to the. Yeah, boy. I have this continuously exploding number of public standards activities and specs that I have to at least contribute to, if not edit. And no new budget for that from Samsung, although they are happy to hold my coat while I do all this work. And and they go on, you know, surprise, surprise, having, you know, fire drills that for two weeks are like, well, can't you just put more hours on this? Well, no. I'm not giving up music and sleeping for your job.
Yeah, it's... It's an interesting one. The I don't mind so much if they wouldn't make everything number one priority.
Well, that's it. And that different persons give you number one priorities. And then when you ask your nominal director or VP or whomever, okay, which one is a number one priority, they spend 5 or 10 minutes waffling and saying, well, they all of them are.
Yeah, they just say yes.
They say yes. You're right. No, that was a question.
Anyway.
Okay, which brings us to Google Summer of Code. Tim, if you don't want to hang around and listen to us talk of Google Summer of Code, although
Tim's.
I hope you do.
We haven't done Tim's yet, so why don't we do Tim's and then come back to Google?
Yeah, why don't we skip to the PDF filter security issues? So, Till or Tim, does somebody want to say something about those?
One thing we have shortly talked about it in the beginning, but then some people like Lars were not yet on the phone. The problem is the copied code from Poplar, which is not security maintained. Poplar experienced a lot of security problems in the last time, which were solved in Poplar itself. And the the copied code pieces of Poplar, which are copied source files of Poplar, slightly modified to add some features, they are not necessarily updated along with the Poplar updates. One thing is, it is a little bit awkward if these have to be updated all the time when a Poplar bug is found and fixed. And this always or often gets overlooked, and so security problems and also simple crashes are simply in the Poplar-based filters. And the Poplar-based filters, they run as a system user and not as the user who calls them.
Oh, dear. So they also have
potentially
having problems is worse.
One user to read or might manipulate the print jobs of another user. It's not enough to tear down the whole system or to delete one other user's home directory, but one can access print jobs from other users if there is really a security vulnerability. I don't know about any CVE reports about these filters, so whether they are actually found vulnerabilities, but probably Tim knows about how old the copied code pieces are and which security fixes they have missed. And our goal is that we get Poplar, we move the Poplar project in a way so that they modify their code so that we can write the PDF to PDF and PDF to OPVP filters without copying code pieces of Poplar.
Without copying any code, yes.
Yes.
Or
so
going around public data, guys.
The Poplar library and its API to implement these filters. I don't know what is missing. I didn't get any description about this from Otani-san. I asked him. Tim, you've probably seen it in the thread. And I've also asked Otani-san to update the copied code for the time being until we move the Poplar people to change their stuff. But I didn't get an answer either about this.
As far as you know, the copied code is actually a change to the code, an additional subroutine. I mean, it sounds like they didn't do this very well.
I think it actually, but Tim, speak up, but I think, Glenn, the intent anyway was it's straight copy. It was just for code that had no API. Stuff
yes, exactly.
Inside Poplar that happened at a relatively low level, you know, like the classic problem before all of the detailed IPP APIs were exposed in cups. So if you had to do this, you know, asynchronous, bad example, but if you had to do this particular bit of function, you had to copy the code because you couldn't get at it in Poplar.
Yeah.
No exposed API.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a similar situation to the CUPS PDF to PS filter that used to be, which was a copy of XPDF modified to allow for things like the CUPS rotation keyword and to run as a.
So is it possible for the popular people, that sounds interesting, expose these APIs so that as part of the normal package, so we don't have people spitting off non-secure versions?
That's what we all hope. The history of this is that, that there was the XPDF.
You're breaking up really bad, Tim. I can hardly hear you.
Is that the XPDF project had a lot of security issues. Because it was being copied and modified by a lot of projects, I think that's when the Poplar project came about to avoid this kind of thing. So it was effectively to make XPDF into a library usable version. so that projects that want to use PDF could use Poplar as a library, and all the PDF handling. Scratch, it was adapted from PDF, from XPDF.
Tim, if you could manage to speak much louder, because the echo cancellers or Skype or something is turning you into digital hash.
It sounds like, perhaps even like that you don't have enough bandwidth for this VoIP connection.
Or the filter is cutting you out.
Yeah, I'm not in an ideal situation here. I'm doing it on phone over Skype. I think the problem is that
you're going to have to send a mail note, because we can't really your whole words. The situation is, so what's the best solution? Is that to come up with a new set of exposed APIs?
I mean, presumably.
Yeah, you really don't want people copying things like this that have potential security risk.
Well, and the thing is, it may be, yes, to expose some APIs, but also to stick some wrappers around relatively low-level routines intended to have APIs. So there's probably some work to be done besides just publishing the API.
Yeah, I mean, there's bindings and publishing. Yeah, there's a lot. But if that's not impossible, it sounds like the best solution.
It doesn't. I don't see how it can be impossible if the code is necessary in XPDF and the Poplar library packaging, and it was necessary in our open printing PDF filter, then this should be straight ordinary software engineering. Okay, write some wrappers, isolate the code, possibly modularize it a little bit if it's in, large chunks of one C file with a whole bunch of unrelated stuff in it.
So it's not that simple, really.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Okay. Carry on. Lars, speak.
I was talking to Albert, who is one of the maintainers, and the API that PDF to PDF is using is not even supported. It's installed and everything, but they don't give any ABI or API guarantees, and they basically say good luck if you use that. So it might change from one version to the other and stuff like that.
Okay, so let me ask a question in a slightly different way. How many people are using the API that's not supported?
Officially, nobody. Only the glib and Qt front ends should be used. And those are using the Poplar API directly.
Should we perhaps use the glib API to rewrite PDF to PDF?
Poplar's explicit non-goal is PDF manipulation. So you don't get around using the... You can't manipulate the PDF in any way with the glib binding. Or
so
it's only for display.
There is no defined C library for manipulating PDF. So the only free software is the Java-written PDF TK for manipulating PDF.
Let's see. I mean, if you don't need all of Qt, I mean, Qt is a little big.
Yes, and Qt I do not want to have in a non-graphic, in a non-GUI application.
Right. I mean, I've been working with it. It's huge. It takes forever to ink in its parts. So I understand why people are bypassing it. Okay. Interesting problem.
I'm back now. I'm on a different line.
Oh, that's better. That's better.
Can you hear me better now? Okay. What I was trying to say earlier was that because Poplar wasn't sort of built from the ground up as a library to handle PDF that was adapted from XPDF, I think there's a lot of sort of, internal sort of heritage code in there that's just done that way because that's the way it was written for XPDF. So it's not written sort of nicely as a library, to interface with that with other applications. So I get the feeling that bits and pieces of the internal API have just been opened up to that as and when.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not documented at all. It's just that the headers are installed, and PDF to PDF is using that, and I guess they copied stuff so that they can expose even more from their journals, because not everything's in there.
And what worries me really is that no one seems to have very much idea of how PDF to PDF works, other than the author.
Other than what? Sorry.
Other than the guy who wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, one thing is PDF to PDF. What would be the best way to write a free software filter which does the job of PDF to PDF without writing a completely new PDF interpreter?
Well, I think Poplar's got to be the right way. Yeah, that's the way you go if you want to change PDF. So.
Except that if the Poplar library has all these undocumented, unsupported APIs that are in headers, and they don't guarantee backward compatibility, this gives me the same lousy feeling I've gotten for years when I hear Linux kernel people saying, oh, lots of the Linux kernel APIs are not guaranteed, and if we want to change threads, we will in the next release. And my reaction to that is, I think you should finish high school first and learn to be a professional software writer. I find that completely unacceptable.
And I think that it gives me doubts about whether PDF is the right format for the baseline workflow of printing. You know, if the
for printing
at the very base, well, for cups then for the PDF workflow for cups. Cups filters package.
Given that the co-author of Cups, Michael Sweet, is my co-editor of IPP Everywhere, and PDF is required if you support
why is the PDF to PDF filter not merged upstream with Cups? Why is it not going to be part of Cups? Do you see what I mean?
That's an Apple decision.
Politics at Apple. Who employ Michael?
It doesn't make anything easier.
Well, I mean, it's particularly absurd because even in iOS, AirPrint uses all of the substance of IPP Everywhere and requires PDF support. So, I mean, it's just stupid.
Well, okay, we need to worry about that kind of stuff and get back to how do we fix the problem. How do we fix the problem? How do we identify the problem and fix it?
I
think we need to get a discussion going with the Poplar maintainers.
Right. It sounds like it's not within the scope of this organization or this group.
Yeah. No. Well,
we could submit a bug report or a feature request.
Yeah.
I talked to Albert. He said manipulation is an explicit non-goal, so it's going to be pretty hard talking to them. I don't know why. Maybe they don't have enough resources or something, but he was pretty clear on that.
Okay.
So there's no one except us with a PDF to PDF filter who wants to write a software or a library which manipulates PDF files.
Well, there's PDF Shuffler, for example, and that's written in Python, and that uses PyPoplar, which is kind of I've got to think of it as just Python bindings to libpoplar.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
PDF stuff like moving pages around, you know, so that's manipulating them. So it's not just us.
No, of course it's not just us. It's the entire software industry worldwide. There are no platforms on which PDF is not the dominant rich text format, nor any international standards organization in existence that doesn't publish in PDF. None. How anyone could be messing with a PDF library and not realizing that display, all forms of content storage and manipulation, rich text is PDF, they are the same thing. It's an ISO standard for a damn good reason.
Ira, calm down. I think Tim said that basically there's a lot of code around. Is that what you said?
I'm saying that, you know, it's not just the PDF to PDF or CUPS filters project that wants to be able to use Poplar to manipulate PDFs. It's also things like PDF Shuffler, which is just like a user tool for dragging and dropping pages around in a PDF document. And I'm sure there are others that use Poplar to do that.
Tim, can you help here? So XPDF wasn't a library or isn't, and Poplar is some kind of a library wrapping or something of XPDF. What's the relationship here?
Yeah, that's. I think the XPDF code was forked into Poplar and then libraryized. That's my understanding.
Okay, and does
so
XPDF
currently stand?
Does XPDF still
when
exist?
When there are security vulnerabilities, yes, it does. When as things currently stand, when there are security vulnerabilities, they have to be identified and fixed in both XPDF and Poplar. And you know, everyone's hoping, well, nothing else, because it used to be and CUPS, you know, and KDE things, and you know, all kinds of things. But you know, as it is, just having XPDF and Poplar is enough, I think.
Yeah, I'm a little I'm still totally confused about who's maintaining what or not, and how content manipulation could be an explicit non-goal for a PDF library. That's the part where I am lost.
Yeah, well, I think it's because it wasn't built from the ground up as a library to provide PDF manipulation services to applications. It was just, can we use XPDF, you know, in library form? Can we embed it, or can we, you know? I think things like the events project, which is just a native GNOME PDF viewer, wants to be able to do the things that XPDF does, but look pretty, you know, have native widgets and everything. So I think, you know, that's the kind of reason Poplar was born.
Does someone know about new PDF? Whether this has a library and whether this library is perhaps suitable?
New PDF. I don't think that code's been touched in quite a long time. Last time I looked, it had been, I think, years since there'd been any commits. I may be wrong about that, but it doesn't seem like it's active at all. I mean, it's a real shame, because that's exactly the kind of project that would be ideal in this kind of situation if there were people actively developing it.
And another thing is also, do we really need the PDF to UOPVP filter? Because GhostScript can do similar things. One can
I'm not sure about that filter.
What?
I don't think it's such a problem with the PDF to OPVP filter, because it was explained that one of the files that's copied there, it's meant to be like a template file that you're meant to copy if you want a new output device for Poplar or something. So I think that maybe is how it's meant to be used with Poplar, which seems a bit weird, but that does seem to be the only file that has any sort of relationship to Poplar, and it's to make it into a new output device for it.
New PDF seems pretty active these days. Like, last commit was 2 hours ago.
What?
So, what are we talking about? New PDF?
New PDF.
How are you spelling it?
M-U PDF? Yeah.
Oh, new PDF. Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about earlier.
No, I thought you were talking about GNU PDF, GNU.
Oh, yeah. No, that's pretty much dead as far as I know.
Yeah. I haven't heard of new PDF. Let's have a look.
That's from the Artifacts, the GhostScript guys.
Oh, right, yes.
But I don't know if that's only a renderer or if that could be used as a library as well.
The wiki page says, MuPDF is an open-source software library written in C that implements a PDF and XPS parsing and rendering engine. sounds like the target area. Artifacts acquired MuPDF in early 2000s and develops and supports it. Says that in 2011, support for Microsoft XPS was added based on code from the Ghost XPS library. So, this, given the lineage of this software, there isn't any discussion about we don't have a Ghost script dependency in the Linux Unix space. We do. So, given that these are filters to use with Ghost script, shouldn't we be at least talking to Rafe, who actually apparently is doing some maintenance on this, and others at Artifacts, and saying, is this, you know, and talking with Koji Otani, who wrote the PDF filters, the CUPS PDF filters, and considering an alternative, because Poplar, as a sort of a library by, based on a fork of XPDF with maintainers who don't have the goals we do and aren't willing to make commitments for backward compatibility of APIs, is just a total non-starter. This is,
well, of their internal APIs.
Of their, that's my point.
Yeah.
You know, there is not the least reason in the world that one should not preserve one's internal APIs, and I consider it poor software engineering not to do so. Backward compatibility skins, maybe, but, you know, they die? No. You know, this is the complaint of many for years that, you know, the C runtime library would fall out from under you because the kernel fell out from under you. And that's, you know, so I wouldn't use that software, and I don't endorse that we should take that approach for PDF filters. I just don't like it. I think an alternative active library being maintained by people who are security conscious and even just integrity conscious, because buffer overflows are not just security issues, they're, you know, lost content, lost data, always. I don't know. Anyway, I think we need to consider alternatives seriously.
One thing is, the PDF to PDF filter is not an interpreter for PDF, but only a manipulator.
Right.
Perhaps possible with much, much simpler code than a PDF interpreter to only do the manipulation work which a PDF to PDF does.
Maybe. You mean to actually
own code that doesn't depend on the library. To open a Google Summer of Code project or to try to get some cycles of a canonical developer to write a PDF to PDF filter which does not use any PDF library.
Till, in three sentences or less, what is it doing?
It is doing manipulations, typically so-called page management, which means four pages per sheet, or rearranging the order of pages, cutting out only selected pages, printing in reverse order, and things like that.
Oh, so it's not even PDF manipulation per se.
No, it's now I see why Till says it's not interpreting the PDF in a strong sense. It's not.
It's really just doing the the document.
And so perhaps, okay.
Yeah, it's doing what it's
overkill using the PDF library.
Who knows enough about all the manipulation? Is that Otani?
Well, presumably he wrote the libraries.
Do we have documentation anywhere on
the CUPS filters package? contains also some documentation. And what he has done is following the PS2PS filter of CUPS.
So, Till, how does it work with, for example, setting like the resolution, printer resolution option?
The printer resolution option is ignored by the PDF2PDF filter. The resolution is handled by the driver, which is, for example, if you have Gutenprint, the GS2Raster filter, which calls GoScript for rasterizing the incoming PDF into CUPS raster, uses the resolution for giving the correct size of bitmap image of the pages.
Yes,
and also the driver itself uses the resolution to tell the printer with a command, print this bitmap in that resolution.
But we need to know that the actual scope of the manipulations, because if it's is what you are saying, that could actually probably be done independent of any other set of libraries, popular or otherwise, and Google Summer of Code would be a good thing to start with.
Yes, yes. I could open a new project idea. Simply, it's about manipulating PDF files, doing NUP, elected pages, changing order and things like that with code as simple as possible.
Ira, I just interpreted it as
and one front end of the code will be a PDF to PDF filter for CUPS.
Ira, I just interpreted that as Till has an action item to do that.
Yeah, it's going to get in the minutes. Meanwhile, I'm writing down the idea. NUP page ranges, selected pages, which is just, you know, even odd.
Oh, it also reverses order depending on your printer. I think it's one of the things it did.
Pages.
It also does scale to fit.
Yeah, that's why we need to know what they are.
Yeah, that's why I'm getting you guys to say these so I can say, so I can list these.
You can just put that as examples for right now for the minutes, but we need to look it up.
Yeah, I know, but what I meant was if everyone would please speak up. Scale to fit. And that one's a little bit. No, maybe if you can do NUP, you can do scale to fit. I'm trying to think of, you know, page processing that you can
yeah,
do
scale,
without
scale
actually
to fit the
interpreting.
PDF filter does also.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the issue. If there's one thing that requires.
If there's one thing that actually requires a little bit of interpretation, then we're
yeah,
a little
trouble.
Bit pregnant and this whole thing dies.
Right. Right. That's why we're, yeah. That's why the list would be important. But I think it's we could start, right?
Yep.
Well, I wouldn't underestimate it because the PDF streams can be PDF is a pretty big standard and the streams can be encoded in like a million different ways.
Yes, they can.
So having support for the whole PDF standard is pretty big, even if you only want to like take the stream and copy it a few times for NUP or something like that.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but I don't think that goes to what version of PDF does one have to support in this library, right? And the answer had better be the same answer as the standard for IPP everywhere, which I think is 1.7, the actual ISO 32000 standard, but we'll look it up. My point is it's a late version after 1. It's 1.5 or later, which means it's not only bigger than a bread box, it's bigger than an SUV. This is a big spec.
Okay. Have we beat that one to death?
Okay. Well, okay, so there are various approaches here. I wrote action till write a PDF page manipulation library GSOC project.
Okay, I will do so and hope that someone takes it.
Right, but we, in order, all concerned, either now or right away, we need to contribute what we think the pretty exhaustive list of page manipulation, rotation, scale to fit that we need to have is there, and we need to not choose a single one that requires actual PDF interpretation, but just skipping across chunks of the stream that one can recognize because of the PDF structure as being pages.
Yes, and as far as I know, the PDF structure contains of pages, and one can tell them apart.
Yeah.
It's not as imposed as you can perfectly hide the what belongs to which page.
I do feel uneasy about having a Google Summer of Code student.
Writing a
PDF handling thing, even if it's not interpreting anything, even if it's just looking in the stream, because it's so easy to get it wrong, and you can't trust the code the bytes you're looking at. They might have been specifically maliciously ordered so as to trip you up.
Yeah. So the scope of the Google Summer of Code may have to be well managed, and it may only be to do an investigation or something.
Or write a design spec, or a lot of things short of writing the code.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to explode in our face.
Okay, so I'm adding that note. Scope may be simply investigation.
I mean, I don't think we'd ever release anything without a lot of review from a summer student, but...
Well, I mean, we could write it as, the scope is to write a design spec, and the body of it is to do the investigation to write the design spec.
But there's a lot of legwork needs to be done, and there may be a lot of legwork.
There probably is, for one thing, gathering the exhaustive, actually correct list of what are the page manipulations that it's got to support, because at the end of the day, that's what we got to have code to do. And if it turns out that there's one missing that required calling the internal APIs of Poplar, then we are back to plan B, whatever that may be.
Yes, one thing is from the beginning, we know exactly which page management items are needed, as it is defined by the upstream PS2PS filter of CUPS, and we need to resemble these for PDF. And another thing is, we only need to make a new PDF-to-PDF filter. We don't need a PDF-to-OPVP filter, as GoScript is capable of that. And as GoScript, as PDF to OPVP is an interpreter, is a renderer more or less, I don't understand why one cannot implement this with Poplar without copying code. And one thing I would do, as we are more leaning to using GoScript as a print renderer, I would even perhaps say that one could replace the PDF to OPVP filter in the CUPS filters package by a wrapper around GoScript, so that it gets GoScript based.
Now it sounds like an interesting summer student project to investigate that.
Yeah, now one also must know, writing a wrapper GoScript to resemble the current Poplar-based PDF to OPVP filter. How much work is it? I think it is not enough work for Google Summer of Code project. I think it's perhaps when one takes in that one has to investigate what the PDF to OPVP filter does and to communicate with Rotani-san, perhaps to ask him what it has to do, that perhaps this takes 2 weeks or 3 weeks or so, and one has a working GoScript wrapper.
OK. Okay, so why don't we...
So it's not not big enough for a Google Summer of for Code project.
Why don't we take it offline and see how big it can be and go back to, well, this is a good lead-in to the Google Summer of Code activities.
Was someone going to talk to, was it Rafe who maintains new PDF?
Well, he, in any case, according to the wiki page, did the first artifacts port of UPDF.
Okay, but it's first.
Okay, let's see. I haven't even got that right here. Someone should talk to Rafe or somebody at Artifacts. It says I misspoke, guys. In 2002, Tor Anderson started work on UPDF based on the LibArt rendering library by Rafe Levien. After Artifacts acquired UPDF, the project development focus shifted on writing a new modern graphics library called FITS. FITS was originally intended as an R&D project to replace the aging GoScript graphics library, but has instead become the rendering engine powering UPDF. 2005, first version of UPDF with the new FITS library. 2009, Artifacts filed a copyright infringement against Palm Inc. for violating GPL when it included UPDF in WebOS. And 2011, support for Microsoft XPS was added based to MuPDF, based on the Ghost XPS library, which is singularly cogent and relevant for the work going on in cloud printing in the PWG and elsewhere for all platforms and all operating systems, because the commercial app offerings, including Google Cloud Print, presently accept Microsoft XPS as one of the input formats. And the coexistence of XPS and Microsoft Print Schema job tickets with PDF and Open and PWG print job tickets is going to be a long-term reality. It's not going away.
But what you just read sounds like a little bit of spaghetti in a mess, so...
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so we'll look into this.
Let's just do it by email through the normal group until we get some...
All right. Well, the urgency is that we kind of have to create a Google Summer of Code project instantly if it's to be cogent for the timing. Till, what is the timing for Google Summer of Code?
We have to submit... the application until Friday, so I will fill in the application form tomorrow, and so I will also write down the ideas, the additional ideas tomorrow. Or every one of you who has ideas, please add them to the wiki. For me, for now, there's one additional idea of the new library free PDF to PDF filter.
And till then, when do they decide which projects they're going to accept and let students apply for? Quite soon.
They decide not which projects. They decide which mentoring organization.
Okay, and then
in a week or so after the closing of the applications for the mentoring organizations, they decide which organizations can participate. And each organization can then offer whatever project they want.
Okay.
By Friday, all you're trying to do.
Also, after the application and after the decision of Google for the mentoring organizations, the mentoring organizations can still add ideas. So if there are any late ideas, we can still add them.
The only thing that has to be done by Friday is we have to get the mentoring.
Students can apply with their own ideas also.
No, but the point, Glenn, is that there isn't a long fuse at all here about when we can't add more projects nor get new students. The whole decision process happens pretty quick.
No, but right now the only goal is to get the mentoring organization and the request for a number of students. What the actual projects are can change.
I
don't think you even make requests for a number of students, Glenn. You just apply as a mentoring organization and show that you've got one or more projects listed.
Yes,
okay.
That's it. You apply only as a mentoring organization. And when the students have applied, and they can bring in their own ideas, so the number of ideas can grow while students are applying. When the application period for the students closes,
Then
Google will decide how many students each organization can have. And this depends on the number of students who are applying for this for different projects.
Okay, I'm capturing that in minutes. Okay, so when the application period for students closes, GSOC decides how many students each mentoring organization can have.
Yes. And then the mentoring organizations can decide which of the students, for the case that they have more applications than free slots.
Okay.
And in the end, it also happens that late, before the closing period, before the period of the mentoring organizations to fill the slot closing, there often appear new free slots which are redistributed to the distributions. For example, if a mentoring organization does not fill in all their slots, for example, a student goes away or a project turns out to not be being feasible or something else. And so a mentoring organization having more slots than they have students for. For the Google Summer of Code, I will add the project of the PDF to PDF filter. And any one of you, if you have any project idea which is not in the list yet, please add it, because it's also of use for the application when there are project ideas listed. Because this makes the mentoring organization more attractive for Google to accept it.
Okay. All right. Okay. With respect to other, do we want to have any discussion of any other GSOC projects that we've already said are okay? And I think the answer is no. We've already got them written up, and let's not talk about them since we've already talked more than an hour. And I have a phone call that I can't miss in an hour from now that I got to prepare for. Unless someone particularly wants to talk about JTAPI or something, and I would rather not. I'd rather close up if we could here. I will send some email, but let me briefly say I am now on three other Trusted Computing Group working groups as a result of attending the face-to-face 2 weeks ago, and am liable to get stuck with editor stuff, but they are in the area of mobile phone working group, which just changed its name to mobile platform working group in TCG, and addresses all laptops, tablets, smartphones, and any other mobile device. So we'll stop. and therefore has the same scope as the Trusted Mobility Solutions Working Group that I chair, which is an architecture and solutions group. And I have also just joined two subcommittees of TNC, Trusted Network Connect, the protocol for network access control and network identity management in TCG protocol. So I'll write some of that stuff up. Tim, Lars, Glenn, you got more topics we need to actually talk about yet today?
I actually have to go right now. So we'll speak again soon.
Till, you're going to send out a note about conference calls for planning for the Open Printing Summit?
Yes, yes. I will put it onto the printing summit and printing architecture list. So that
okay. The last thing I would like to get is tentative dates for the next two meetings, a firm date for next month and a tentative for the one after. The first Wednesday in April is the 4th. Does anyone object to that as a meeting date?
How many weeks from now is it? If it is 4 weeks from now, it is already scheduled also as a preparation for a meeting for the summit.
Are we going to abandon monthly meetings and have only preparation meetings? We have done that some years.
Yes, we did it all the time.
Okay.
We did not do something like one day is a monthly meeting and the next day directly a preparative meeting or so.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't. So, okay. So, we will deal with such business as the Google Summer of Code and the preparation meetings. So, Till and everyone, May, I'm, because of our conference, traveling, so it can't be the first week of May, but the second week of May, is that the Ubuntu conference?
There is the UDS. It is the following.
With UDS.
The UDS is in the week of May 6 to 11.
Right.
And I'm in California beginning from the Open Printing Summit until the end of the UDS. And in the week in between is another internal conference.
Yeah, it's a terrible week. I will physically be on the road the week in between moving home. I suggest, because the UDS is the week of the 6th through the 11th, that we have the May monthly meeting on the 16th Wednesday,
yes,
following it, and Till and Lars and Tim and whomever can give us comments on UDS, anyone who's attended on UDS, and we can also have follow-up on UDS and PWG meeting and Open Printing Summit on action items.
Okay.
Okay.
What was the April meeting, or is Till going to resolve that?
The answer is the April meeting and 1-2 weeks before that and 1-2 weeks after that are the Open Printing Summit planning meetings as usual.
Well,
at
I'm at
this
the Linux
time.
Foundation meeting in April 4th, so I won't be attending. So.
Till, have you already announced these meetings? I haven't.
What?
Have you already announced the planning meetings?
The planning meetings are announced on the webpage of the Open Printing Summit.
Well, Glenn just pointed out he can't attend April 4th. Were you planning on one April 18th? Because that's too close to the conference. There's no way I can attend that meeting.
Yes, April 18th is the week before the conference.
Yeah.
Yes, there will be the last preparation meeting.
Then you're going to do it yourself, my friend, because there's no way I'm going to be there.
Yes, and perhaps even it can be we can agree on skipping it. Or the meeting can be the meeting simply for the last question. If no one calls in, it's no problem.
Wait a minute. Till, could we maybe just move all these darn meetings by a week, and so we had one on the 11th of April and back up from there to the 28th of March and either the 14th of March, which is next week, or not? Because if we don't have Glenn and we don't have me, I honestly think you're...
It's not worth.
We're not going to have Mike. I'm can tell you we're not going to have Mike. There's big changes in Mike Sweet's life.
So if you want three meetings,
he's moving permanently and forever back to Canada from California in June.
So Mike will move to Canada, Mike Sweet.
Yes.
But he's still working for Apple.
He is working for Apple. He will no longer have travel budget to most meetings and will continue to host the, you know, April, you know, joint meeting with Open Printing Summit, or at least scheduled in this, you know, same time, the same week as a Linux Foundation Collaboration Summit if they don't put it on Easter like they did this year.
So this was Mike always living in Canada before he went to Apple?
I'm sorry? He's probably
living in Canada.
All of his people are from Canada. He was in Maryland. But his extended family on both sides lives in Canada, and his brother is very ill, and other family.
And so in June, Mike will move to Canada.
Yeah.
Work from home for Apple.
Right.
Ira, can you meet next week?
Can I meet next week for Open Printing? I sure can. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so till I suggest March 14th, March 28th, and April 11th dates.
Which makes April 11th 2 weeks before the face-to-face, which is a much better time, because the Wednesday before the face-to-face is too late to change any planning.
Right, I'm not changing anything that late.
Well, I mean, even for removing, we don't want to move around topics, so, I mean, we need to be rather well-organized about not changing the agenda, but changing only details or who's speaking.
Right, so why don't you want to capture that, Ira? March 14th, March 28th, and April 11th.
Yeah, and I will capture that. And Till, can you change the web page accordingly?
Yes, I will change the web page and also make an announcement.
Make an announcement with those dates. Thank you. Okay. In that case, if we're done, I'm going to go because I have to get lunch too before my next meeting. Thank you all, Tim. Thank you especially for coming and talking about the PDF filter problem, and I hope you can manage to listen in on and contribute to some of the Open Printing Summit planning telecons. Tim, do you think you will be able to travel to the PWG Open Printing Summit meeting in the end of April? He's probably not there. I think he said he had to go.
Ah, yes.
I think he's gone.
Then he has left.
Lars, do you know yet whether you will be able to travel to the Open Printing Summit or be calling in?
I'll be calling.
You broke up. Say again.
Sorry. I'll be calling in. I won't be able to travel there.
Okay. But you will be able to call in.
I will be able to call in. And I will be in the neighborhood like a week later for you, yes.
Okay. All right, good. Well, so for people who, like Glenn, who are on the West Coast, that's good for offline meetings. Okay, good. Then I will bring these minutes together, but they're not going to come out until later today. Thank you all for coming, and we will talk next week and 2 weeks from then and 2 weeks from then for Open Printing Summit planning, and hopefully we'll be brief about those calls too. Okay, thanks, folks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.